Shall we pray? Father, we bow our hearts before you, thanking you for being our sanctifier, Father. Thanking you, O God, for bringing us into a deep understanding of what you mean to create in us, what you mean to fashion into our being, what you mean to manifest as a reality in which we live, move, and have our being. We thank you, Lord, that we are a new creation, Father, in Christ Jesus, and we are being created in his fullness so that we will rise to become all that you want us to become, Father. A holy people, able to do things in righteousness and holiness of the truth, Father. We are being brought into a living rest so that we can realize the fact and the reality that we are your workmanship, Father, created in Christ Jesus, brought forth by the Holy Spirit. And we are meant, O God, to become partakers of the Holy Spirit in this rest so that we can do all things by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. And in this manner, Father, be set free from the law of sin and death. It's an awesome work that you're doing in our inward parts. And we realize that your word is declaring very clearly and unambiguously, Lord, that you mean for us to be your workmanship, Father. You mean for us, O God, to be manifested in the fullness of Jesus Christ. You mean for us, O God, to be perfectly in consonance with the Holy Spirit, Father, so that we will flow by the Holy Spirit at all times. And for this purpose, O God, you have given us a witness, O God, that is fully functional, Father. And this witness that is fully functional, O God, is depicted, O God, in prophetically, O God, as Aaron's rod that budded, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that this witness is meant to be manifested, O God, in the substance and fullness of Jesus Christ. And this witness is a proclamation of all that you have for us in Christ Jesus. The proclamation of the position that you want us to receive, realize, and express, Lord. So we thank you for what you are manifesting in our inward parts. Continue your work in us, O Lord, and enable us, O God, to walk, O Lord, into what you have given us, grace upon grace. That, Lord, we will not be stumbled by our inadequacies, that we will not be stumbled, O God, by what we are able to know and understand in ourselves. But, Lord, we will look to you, O God, as the God who fulfills all our inadequacies, Lord. As the God who is our adequacy for all things, Lord. Indeed, your word proclaims and we understand clearly, Father, that through Christ who strengthens us, we can do all things, Lord. And that is an awesome reality, Lord. And so we pray that you will give us the courage, the strength, and the perseverance to realize, O God, what your word is proclaiming to us so powerfully, Lord. So we pray that you remove from us every idea of placing limitations on you, Father. O Lord, so often we express you in our image, Lord, thinking, O God, that you are constrained like us, O Lord. But you are God, and you are able to do with us what would be inconceivable for us, Lord. So enable us to hear your word, to understand your word, to accept your word, to hold your word in a good and honest heart, O God, and to persevere with your word, Father, by choosing to live it, by choosing to confess it, by choosing to pray it, and choosing, O God, to think and express, O God, our desires in that word, so that you can perform the word in us and unfold a brand new creation. We thank you that the creation of the sons of God are an expression, O God, that is prophetically, O God, manifested in the Ark of the Covenant. We thank you, Father, for the symbols of this creation, O God, the prophetic symbols of this creation, O God, in Aaron's rod, O God, in that we want to thank you that truly, Lord, you mean to manifest, O God, us in an awesome plane of reality. We thank you for our creation in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the persevering work of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that you are Yahweh Mukadesh, the Lord God, who sanctifies us. We bless you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Let's read from verse 1. For indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. But a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Praise the Lord. So that's where God is taking us. And in this reality, He is our sanctifier. So in being our sanctifier, we find that the tablets of the covenant, the jar of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded are all part and parcel of what God means to manifest in our lives. So God has an awesome creative purpose with each and every one of us. And we have to listen to the word of God and understand that all that is being spoken of under the title Yahweh Mukadesh, or the Lord God who sanctifies us, is the workmanship of God. It is the workmanship of God. It is not the workmanship of man. It is the workmanship of God. God is the one who brings this forth. And in this creation, we are enabled to become true vessels of the Lord. In this reality, we attain positions before God. Positions in His holy mountain. Positions in which we become vessels of the Lord. Positions where God ultimately means for the body of Christ to be unveiled as a body of priests, as kings, and as a prophetic people. A people who will always understand that they are vessels of fulfillment, that God has great and awesome purpose for them. They are a covenant people chosen to hold high position in the mount of the Lord. So all this has got meaning to us because it refers to our inward parts. Basically, it refers to the functions of our heart. So the manna refers to the substance of the creation of our inward parts. The tablets refer to God forming His word inside of us. And the rod, that is Aaron's rod that budded, refers and expresses the witness that God wants each one of us to receive and realize and express functionally in God. So you begin to see that we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. We are a unique creation of God. God has an awesome and wonderful purpose for us. And in these three symbolisms that are in the Ark of the Covenant, God gives true expression to what Paul calls the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ, okay? The mystery of Christ. So let's turn to Ephesians 3 to just review that and take that from there. All right? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. So Paul talks and says that by revelation there was made known to him something called the mystery. And in verse 4, he then explains that this mystery is his understanding and insight into the mystery of Christ. Okay? If you go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul writes, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. Christ is formed in you. So this mystery is meant to manifest in us as Christ is formed in us. And as Christ is formed in us and we put on Christ, right? We begin to realize the fulfillment of what those three prophetic elements in the Ark of the Covenant symbolized. And it's meant to be fully functional. Because Christ means the anointed one. And with the anointing, we function. But we function in a very defined manner. So you find that the jar of hidden manna represents the substance of our creation. The substance of our creation, right? So, you know, faith is the substance of hope, right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. That word substance is what we are talking about. And in that word substance, God creates our inward parts. And in that word substance, God is also going to manifest realities of His word. So those tablets of the covenant are actually of the substance of that manna. And so God is symbolizing an awesome reality of Christ, which means Messiah, of Him being formed in us, all right? Of us being formed in His image and in His fullness. And as we are formed in His image and His fullness, that comes alive in us a witness that is in conformance with Him. And that witness God honors. That witness God honors. That witness is what results out of the revelation of Christ. Right? What God means to manifest in your life through Christ revealed. And God has ordained that according to a calling upon your life. And you must understand that as Christians, we all have a calling in all eternity. Because we have read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, that Paul prays that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will give to us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened, right? So that we will know what is the hope of His calling. And this calling is at the heart of how God wants us to function. We are all created in order to realize what God has designed us for. And as Christians, our ultimate purpose is to discover what God wants to do with us, how He wants us to be His. What sort of vessels are we meant to be? How are we meant to function? Now, all these things we don't know. We don't know because it is part and parcel of what God addresses as the mystery of Christ. You can only realize it in Christ. You can only realize it as Christ is formed in you. You cannot just intellectually realize it. So while we may talk about callings in very general terms as teachers and prophets and apostles and functioning in a whole gift mix, we need to understand that there are many, many ways in which the gift mix can be manifested. In fact, there is an infinitude of ways in which the gift mix can be manifested. And so it will only be manifested as Christ is revealed in you. And that revelation is not just something you know. It has to become something you function in. And in order to realize this, you have to learn how to rest in God. If you try and work this out in your own intelligence and in your own strength, you won't get very far, because all you will produce is your own righteousness. In fact, you may be getting off on the wrong track. So this rest is very important, because we enter God's rest so that He can manifest what He has ordained in our lives. And in this position, we are manifested in the Holy of Holies. All right. So in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul then goes on in verse 8 to tell us, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." Why unfathomable? Because it cannot be intellectually explained. It can only be explained by revelation through your own life. Are you with me? We can talk generally about how Christ did this and did that, but to really understand this, right, it has to be manifested inside of us. The unfathomable riches of Christ are meant to become part and parcel of your being. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace, John 1:16. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That realization is a result of a revelation that has been worked into your being, and you have been created in that revelation, and you've been brought forth as God's product, God's handiwork. Are you with me? So, as we learn how to do many things in the kingdom of God, you must always understand that He is doing something with us that is far beyond our comprehension. And you must learn to rest in God and allow Him to be God and allow Him to do the work that He wants to do in your life. We tend to be always in a rush, right? But you have to be steadfast and patient if you're going to figure out, if you're going to realize, right? Realize is the word. Right? It has to be worked into you. It is a creative work. Are you with me? It's a creative work. You remember how Aaron's rod was judged? Everybody brought, all the tribes brought out their rods, but God only manifested the budding work on Aaron's rod. So it is only what God does that is going to be recognized by God. Because Aaron's rod is the rod that which God had spoken into at the burning bush. Are you with me? All right. Okay. So let's look at verse 8 of chapter 3. Verse 9, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. Now, if you have a King James Bible, it says fellowship of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, to bring to light. Now, what does it mean to bring to light? Let's turn to 1 Peter. Keep your finger here, okay? 2 Peter, rather, chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. And this is what it reads. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. So it is something within you. Are you with me? To bring to light. To bring to light has to be manifested inside of you. In your heart, to be specific. Right? That's what Peter is writing. Right? So you have to bring to light what God has ordained in your life. Right? That's our ultimate responsibility as members of the body of Christ, to unfold this reality of being morning stars. Jesus is the bright morning star, and in the reality of being the bright morning star, he is the root of David and he is the offspring of David. Right? The root of David means that each one of us is to be rooted in his love. Offspring of David means that we are the product of that love. So morning stars are rooted in the love of God and are the product of that love. And that love is entirely personified in Christ. So when God communicates love to us, it is not a feeling, it is not an emotion, it is Christ being formed in us. It is Christ being revealed in us. It is the unfathomable riches of Christ being revealed in us, so that we will become the administration suitable to the fullness of the times. Right? That we will be the administration of this mystery, the mystery of Christ. Or the King James Bible says, the fellowship of the mystery. So it is an intimacy and it is also an administration. It is a functional position. So if you read the email that I sent some of you, right? That's what I'm talking about. You know, your ministry is in your witness. It is not in an anointing. It is in the witness. It is a total witness that is birthed in an intimacy with Jesus Christ. And it's a witness where you see God move supernaturally through you. Okay? It's very important for you to understand that he's got to fashion that witness. He's got to fashion that witness, because Aaron's rod that budded is entirely the work of God. But you have to supply the heart, so that that witness will be what God wants it to be. It is your heart. You have to be willing to give it to the Lord. You have to allow him to work in your heart, to create that heart in the flesh of the Lamb. The flesh of the Lamb is the hidden manna that is in that jar that was in the Ark of the Covenant. And what's the flesh of the Lamb? It is the substance of his fullness, right? It is the word that is brought to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. It is the word of God that is explained to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. It is the word of God that is established in you in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he becomes the author and finisher of your faith. And it is a product of his love manifested in you. So in that process, Christ is being formed in you. Can you catch the picture? You need to understand this so that in your formative years, as you begin to realize God's calling in your life, that you don't get in the way. So many people go and make a mess out of what God opens into their hearts. They try to force God to do what they want him to do. This is not about what you want to do. It's about what God wants to do with you. That's why it is a position that is realized when God is your sanctifier. That means you have to come to rest in him. You've got to trust him. And you've got to know that he's got a higher purpose for you, right, than what you can possibly understand, no matter who you are. No matter who we are. He's got a higher purpose for us than we can conceive. So as Christ is formed in us, as he brings something of Christ into us, we begin to see and we begin to understand and we begin to function and we begin to realize what God is bringing into our lives. And in that whole process, God is actually bringing out a new creation. A new creation. What are we saying? Very simply, that whatever God is going to bring out of your life is going to be entirely different from what you have been in the past. It's going to be a totally different work. You're going to have a totally different character, a totally different thinking process. You're going to have totally different desires and perspectives. You're going to have a totally different makeup, right? You will be equipped with a wisdom, a knowledge, and an understanding that your past has never even imagined. That the systems of the world have never even conceptualized. Okay, it's going to be something of awesome proportions. But you realize that this is a slow work. It is a precise work. It is a very carefully crafted work. It is entirely the workmanship of God. You can't rush it. God will take his time. And you have to be able to allow God to do the work. Meanwhile, you do whatever God has opened to you. At the level at which he has opened you, you be faithful to the Lord. And you realized Christ at the level at which you have now understood him to be. But always remember, what you understand is a drop in the ocean to what is coming in the future. Because God is in the process of creating his own sons. Sons who will carry his glory. Sons who will function with his brilliance. Sons who will be a blessing to nations. Alright? And you must understand that when you hear things like this being said to you, this is not about how intelligent and talented you are. This is about what God can do with you. Because if you try and figure this out in your own intelligence, you won't go anywhere because you can't comprehend it. That's why Paul uses the word the unfathomable riches of Christ. Unfathomable means it is humanly impossible to discern it in your own strength. You cannot receive it out of your EQ, IQ, whatever it is that we talk about. It is entirely a mystery. A mystery that God has to reveal to you. The secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever. In 1 Corinthians, for instance, 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, or chapter 2 rather, verse 9, this is what he's talking about, right? In Christ Jesus, this is what he's talking about. Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. So if the root of David is not being established in you, and if you are not coming forth as the offspring of David, you're not realizing Christ in that reality of being the well-beloved, right? Then you are never going to see these things that God is talking about. This is how God has ordained it. It is not, there are no ifs and buts about it. You and I have to allow God to work it into us. All right? So verse 10 says, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." Okay? Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God." And all that God has given us is packaged in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus in John 16 verse 14 and 15 says that all things that the Father has are mine. That's what he says. And it's the Holy Spirit who will take it and reveal it to you. Okay, so let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. So to bring to light And to bring as things are brought to light, they are actually a result of revelation that is perfected and completed into you. You see, the light has to be perfected and completed. It has to become the light of life inside of you. It has to form within you. It has got to become part of the fabric of your being. So you have to walk in that light, and you have to realize the reality of that light. It becomes part and parcel of your being. So James 1:17 says, every good thing bestowed. Every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift is from the Father of lights. Who are the lights? We are the lights. So what is God saying? Every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift is given to you as light. It is a revealed reality. And it's revealed to you in Christ Jesus. Can you see that? That's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will have the light of life. That's what he's talking about. When something of Christ is revealed in you, you will have the light of life. And it's his life. And his life comes with a character, comes with a nature, comes with a thinking, comes with attitudes, comes with wisdom, knowledge and understanding, comes with power, comes with courage and strength, comes with a fullness that God has ordained in Christ Jesus. Can you see that? And Christ Jesus has been given to you and me. So the cross declares that he has been given to us. So in Numbers chapter 28 verse 2, in the New American Standard, there's one sentence that says, and you shall be careful to present my offering. So what was symbolized in the Old Testament is manifested in reality from us. Are you with me? And it's manifested from our hearts. Okay, so verse 9 of Ephesians 3. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery and the fellowship of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Through the church. The church is not just one superstar. It's a whole bunch of morning stars. It's all of us have a part to play in this. Right? That's God's grace, that he wants not just one or two people or one handful of people. He wants a whole body to stand in those heavenly places. Right? So in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 it says that we are being blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How are we blessed? In Christ Jesus. Right? That's what it says. In Christ Jesus. Right? Just as he chose us, that is the Father has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Right? Through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us as the beloved. So we are the beloved. Why are we the beloved? Because Jesus Christ is the beloved. And because everything is being fashioned and formed in us in Christ Jesus, we too become beloved to God. And that's what this reality of Yahweh Mukadesh is all about. Bringing you into the reality of realizing the love of God. So that you will become the vessels that God wants you to be. Powerful. It's a creative work. If God is saying that you have to attain this out of your own efforts, then I can understand. I mean, this is just too much for us. But if it's a creative work, all things are possible. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So how does Christ strengthen you? By manifesting something of himself inside of you. Right? And so all things are possible. It will take time, but all things are possible. Right? Why is the time needed? Because we have to accept it, we have to understand it, we must be willing to walk into it. That part we have to supply. We must be willing to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is bringing into us. We must be willing to accept what the Father is saying through His Word. Praise the Lord. So, at the heart of all this is a basic question God is asking each one of us. Do you want to be fashioned and formed in Christ Jesus? Are you willing to die, and are you willing to receive Him? It's what John writes in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as a dead man. First he describes the Lamb of God in that vision in Revelation chapter 1. Right? And then suddenly he writes the sentence, and when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as a dead man. So what happened when he saw Him? Something of the Lamb of God was revealed inside of him. And the power of that revelation caused him to fall as a dead man. And the only way you can die to yourself. So that is the only way you can be changed and transformed. So there is a long process, because God has to work our willingness to accept Jesus Christ 100%. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Let's go back to some very basic things, okay? Romans chapter 10. Let's read from verse 8. Before we read that, let's read about what happened with Israel. Chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith. Now what is faith? Faith is substance of hope. Correct. Whose substance? The substance of Christ. Correct? Very simple. If you set your hope on Jesus, the substance of your faith will be of Jesus. If you set your hope on something else, some cheap substitute, then the substance will be of that cheap substitute. It's very simple. If the Christian church just understands this one very basic concept, that we need to set our hope on Jesus Christ completely, not on ministry, not on anointings, not on giftings, but on Jesus Christ. He is the gift, He is the anointed one. We will have a totally different church across the world. Because the substance that will manifest when you focus on Jesus will be of Him. And that substance is creative. Right? Because faith will have an evidence. And that evidence will be manifested in us being unveiled in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Let's look at chapter 10, verse 3. So what was wrong with the people of the law? For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Are you with me? They were trying to do their best. Why were they trying to do their best? Because every one of us wants to have ownership of our own lives. Right? That's at the heart of it all. That's what the real battle is all about. Right? And we like our righteousness, because if we express our righteousness, then we are in complete charge. If we are subject to the righteousness of God, then we are subject to the righteousness of God. And He has total ownership of us. So if you really want Jesus in your life, that's the decision that you have to make. Can you trust God to make such a decision? That's why you need a revelation of the cross. Can God be trusted? We have trusted many things in our lives, correct? We have been all over the place. We have trusted in ourselves, and we've done a whole bunch of things. So God is asking, after having tried everything, what is your decision? Who can you trust? Can you trust yourself? There are many people who will genuinely say, yes, I can. Then they have to carry on their walk around the wilderness, right? But if you have learned and if you have understood that your righteousness is filthy rags, then welcome to the kingdom of God and welcome to the righteousness of the living God. Because the righteousness of the living God will always do the impossible. Correct? And the righteousness of the living God is open to us, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Because that's why grace is there. Because grace is entirely dependent on the righteousness of God. That's why God opens grace to us. It is not a cop-out. And if you're open to the righteousness of God, this is what God is saying. You surrender yourself and you receive me. Alright. Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And what is in your mouth and in your heart? Right? Between your mouth and your heart is a witness, correct? Now what is this witness? God wants this to be Aaron's rod that budded. In order for Aaron's rod to bud, the essential ingredient is your heart. And your heart has to be of that manner, and your heart has to become the tablets of God's covenant. He's got to write his word into your heart. Your mouth has got to confess it in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And as you do that, Aaron's rod will bud and you have a ministry. You have something you can proclaim to other people. Right? But on the other hand, if you have the nature of a snake and you're trying to manipulate people, then what you're doing is you're converting this witness within you into the witness of the serpent. And every time you spit at people. Poison that will kill their lives. And you can see it because you will start destroying people. And you will start seeing people bowing down before you. Yes, there are many people who do that. Have people worship at their feet. If you want to become that kind of a minister, always understand that you will end up becoming an enemy to God and he will destroy you utterly. So it's very important that you function in this witness, in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Truth is manifested in Jesus Christ. You proclaim him. You proclaim his love. You proclaim his faithfulness. You proclaim things in his nature and his character. It is so important because the moment you speak, you know whether it is consistent with who Jesus Christ is. And those are the checks and balances you have to develop in your heart in order that you have the right kind of heart, because that's where God is going to bring forth the word. Amen. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, that is the essence. For this whole reality to come forth, you have to confess Jesus as Lord. That means the words that you speak must always be contingent on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That means when you speak the words, you have the intent of bringing forth his Lordship, not your Lordship. And many people in ministry struggle with that. Because your basic instinct is to have everyone bow down to you. We want recognition for ourselves. We want position for ourselves. And God is saying, your position must be entirely subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Do you want him to reign or not? That's the crucial question. Right? So if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. What does it mean, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? That means that he can be alive in you. That's what it really means. That's why salvation is possible. Because you and I have received of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And you and I must understand that as we focus on Jesus Christ, something of him comes alive in us. His character, his nature. When his character and his nature and his thinking and his attitudes and his desires and his imaginations come alive inside of us, we change. If he doesn't come alive, the change is entirely superficial. It's not the real thing. It's just a put on. It is just dressing yourself up in religious clothes. Whether it's in saffron robes or any other kind of unseen robes, it's the same thing. Okay? You see, God is telling you that holiness, humility, everything is in the witness. It is not in the clothes you wear. Right? Are you with me? It is not in the symbols of religion that we put on ourselves. They mean nothing. It's all in the witness. Is Jesus your Lord or not? That's what counts. Right? Are you convinced that He is the one who is saving you? Are you fully dependent on Him saving you? Or are you doing your own thing? Right? Basic questions, right? Basic questions. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Right? And what results is that you have a salvation in righteousness within you, which is what Aaron's rod that budded is all about. And Aaron's rod is budded. That budded is very powerful because it was used to open the Red Sea. Correct? God moved over that. Right? Because He had spoken His word over that. So we are talking about something very, very big and powerful. But for this reality to come forth, you and I must learn how to rest in God and allow Him to work in us, right? His character and His nature. Very basic question you need to ask yourself. If there is opposition to you realizing Jesus Christ, ask yourself, who else would you be like or want to be like? Hello, we all have to model ourselves on something. If it's not Jesus Christ, what is the alternative, brother? What else do you want? That's what God is asking the church. And for 2,000 years, we haven't provided a very good answer. Huh? We have tried to model ourselves on our own intelligence, our own programs, our own organizations, you know, by wealth and power and whatever else. It has not worked. And God is still asking the question, don't you know that salvation only comes in and by and through my Son? Don't you know that I can only bless in one name? I can only bless that which is of His testimony. Because nothing else stands the test of time. So we saw the charismatic move. We saw the power gifts manifest. We saw the miracles manifest. And then we saw so much of destruction come after that as people fell. Why? Very simple. Because nobody wanted to really do it in the name of the Lord. People wanted to do it for themselves. Right? And you've seen that revival after revival has stopped simply because men started doing things in their own name. Right? And the moment things happen like that, the move of God stops. Don't get me wrong. God is working things in spite of our weaknesses. But somewhere along the line, there has to be a Joshua generation that is willing to say, we will cross into the promised land and we will base all things on the name Yeshua. We will do all things in the name of Yeshua, Jesus. We will be anointed in the Christ. We will be anointed as Christ is formed in us, not just an anointing, but Him being formed in us, so that the anointing will be of Him. So that the anointing will be personified in Him. We will be in His image as we function in the anointing. And we will be in His image as we function in the gifts. So crucial that it be so. So as we start on our ministries, as we do simple things, right? Start learning how to give the glory to the Lord. Ask the Lord to build the witness. Learn how to function in the witness. In module 7, there is a workshop session on the witness. Listen to it and understand that that witness is at the heart of everything in the scripture becoming personal to you. Every personal thing in the scripture is going to be personal to you through these three prophetic elements. Aaron's rod that budded, the jar of the hidden of the manna, and the tables of the covenant. So the jar of the manna and the tables of the covenant are actually together. The manna represents the substance. The tables represents what God does with that substance. He takes that substance and works it into a reality. He writes it in a reality of the word inside of you. And out of that comes the witness that enables you to function. So when this witness is built inside of you, you are now truly a minister of God. And when you speak, people will know that you are speaking with the witness of God alive in you. There will be no ifs and buts. When you pray, people will know the difference. Because when God comes through, when Jesus comes through, every knee will bow. So that's the essence. So that's how you need to train yourself for the ministry. Ministry is not based on how many degrees you have. It's all based on the witness you carry. That doesn't mean you cannot go and get a degree or get 2 degrees or get 5 degrees. That's all right. But and the ultimate, the only measure of the status of a man of God is through that witness. Right? Like Elijah says, you know, I come to you and I stand before God. And by the words of my mouth, it's not going to rain. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1. That's what it means. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord. So we have finished this session on Yahweh Makadesh, and we, when we come back in the new year, we're going to do Yahweh Shalom. All right? So God's opened something to us, very important. We have talked about the fullness of Jesus Christ in module 3, 4, 5. We talked about salvation in module 6. We talked about the witness in module 7, but in module 8 we brought it all back into subjection to God, and we see that God is the one who works the witness. The witness is God's idea, and he works the witness into us through the gift of his Son. And the revelation of the name of God is in Jesus Christ. That's why in John 17 verse 6 Jesus says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. And that manifestation is brought to us by the Holy Spirit. And as we learn to function by the Holy Spirit, you must understand automatically the intent must be always to function in the name of Jesus, because otherwise you're going to function in some other spirit. Because God wants to establish all things in heaven and on earth in the name of Jesus. So as servants of God, as sons of God, our nature and character must be consistent with the nature and character of Jesus. We must be able to judge ourselves and see ourselves progressing towards becoming more and more like the Lord. The pride must begin to dissipate. The anger has to go. The lust has to go. The wandering eyes have to go. The crooked thoughts have to go. The greed has to go. The lust has to go. Are you with me? Everything has to be real. Has to be manifested in truth. It has to be tangible and real. It is not about manipulating people. There's a world of a difference between manipulation and having the favor of God. If you go through manipulation, you're going to be a practitioner of witchcraft. If you function in the favor of God, then nations will come to you one day. It will surely happen. Because it is written in the word of God. And the devil never disputed with Jesus Christ when he said, it is written. The devil didn't say, this is not the right version. The Greek didn't say that, and the Hebrew didn't say that. He didn't say anything. He just shut his mouth and he went. Correct? So you must understand how powerful the word of God is. So always remember, for this witness inside of you to grow, you have to hear the word of God, understand the word of God, accept the word of God, hold the word of God in a good and honest heart, and work it in your life with perseverance, so that the witness of inside the word will become part and parcel of your being. It takes time, and you have to spend that time and function in it. All right. So in your carpenter's workshop, when you speak to somebody, speak from the witness. Speak with the integrity that God wants to bring to you in Christ Jesus. In your carpenter's workshop, learn how to work by the Holy Spirit and not just work by yourself. In your relationship with your spouses, with your children, learn how to function through the witness. Don't just give vent to your anger to your own stubborn ways, to your own prideful ways. Learn to forgive. Learn to love those who don't love you. Learn to love your enemies. Learn to pray for them. In all these things that you do in the carpenter's workshop, and all of us experience all these things, that's where you start building the word that you have in your heart. If you go around accusing people of doing this and doing that, then you are never going to find out how God did things, how God does things. You're not going to find out what the nature and character of Jesus is, because Jesus didn't go around accusing people. The only people he spoke strongly against were the Pharisees, because they were not open to the word of God. But he never condemned a prostitute. Where did you find that? He never condemned the tax gatherer. So often we do that. We look at other people's weaknesses and we point out their weaknesses, conveniently forgetting our own weaknesses. It's a terrible thing to do that, because that means we don't appreciate. It's exactly what that guy who was forgiven the debt did, isn't it? He was forgiven a big debt and he went out and picked on someone who had a smaller debt to him, and he threw him into prison. Right? Yet a perfect God forgives us, and we have to learn how to forgive. Everyone who comes into the church is a sinner, but everyone who is in the church is going to be a saint. Prophetically, they are saints the moment they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So from the process of being a sinner to becoming a saint, God has to do a work, and we have to be able to see that work manifest. If you can't, then you are not fit to minister. That's why you minister grace. Because if you minister any other thing, you're going to send everybody to hell, including yourself. Because how you judge is how you will be judged. So in the same way, when you start ministering, be willing to bless. Because if you're not willing to bless, then it tells you that you have a problem with being selfish and self-centered. So you have to deal with it. Because Jesus came and gave 100% of himself for us. And so in the ministry, we have to learn to give. Whatever gifting God gives you, you must have a desire to see that gifting multiply in somebody's life. So as we mature and grow older, we must be willing to see young fellows rise up, and we must be willing to see the anointing grow in much greater bounds in their life, so that the church of Jesus Christ will expand and grow. Or will we hold on to our position and say, oh, this is my position, I paid the price for this? Hello, brother. That's why it's so important to understand that Jesus Christ paid the price. That everything we receive is grace upon grace. This Aaron's rod that budded is 100% the work of God. So at the end of it all, we have to boast in our God, not boast in ourselves. So these are simple things that you can check and have checks and balances in your life as you minister to people. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the awesome intents of your heart. The awesome intents and purposes, O God, of all that you have for our inward parts, Father. You mean to fashion our inward parts so that we will unveil in very high places, Father. High places, O God, in the mount of the Lord, where we will be able one day, O God, to direct the pathways of nations, Father, by the Spirit, in Jesus' name. And it's so important for us to understand, for us to realize such a position. We must be entirely subject to you, Father. We must learn to entirely function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, so that we can be set free completely, totally, and perfectly from the law of sin and death. And so we ask you, Holy Father, to remove from us every selfish way, every prideful way, every self-seeking way, every self-righteous and self-centered way, every form of anger and bitterness, every form of self-seeking way, Father. Remove from us every kind of lust and greed and covetousness, O Lord. Every kind of rebelliousness, every kind of stubbornness and arrogance. O God, teach us to speak words that will bless. Teach us to look upon sinners, O God, with compassion. And at the same time also, hate the sin, Lord. So Father God, open us, O God, so that we will have the witness that will bring forth the fruitfulness of Jesus Christ through our lives and our ministries. So crucial, Father, that we bear witness to the love of Jesus, to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because unless we love, unless we are willing to forgive, unless we are willing to rise above the weaknesses of our fellow brethren, O God, we are not going to be able to minister the wonder and the unfathomable riches of Jesus Christ, Lord. So Father, create in us that clean heart. Create in us, O God, that heart enabled in the fatness of the Spirit of Christ, so that we will be enabled to do all things in His character and His nature, that we will be enabled to do all things in His witness and His testimony, that we will be enabled to do all things as we are clothed in His Spirit, Lord. That Spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, that Spirit, O God, of strength and courage, that Spirit, O God, of the fear of the Lord, that Spirit of truth, Lord, that Spirit, O God, that will manifest, O God, in the strength of Your might, Lord, we pray. Let that power of His resurrection flow through us, O Lord. Enable us to understand that in the resurrection we come forth as a new creation, Father. As a new creation in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Enable us, O God, to put on Christ and give expression to Him every step of the way. Bless the church in this reality, Lord. The church across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.